Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Rocky Mount Forest Products Twitter feed. At Mace Denver. At Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. In the meantime, it is dinner time. What you thinking about? I love great barbecue. That's why I go to Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew. Two great locations in the Denver metro area. One is in Centennial off of Arapaho Road. That's where I go for either lunch or for dinner. Or they have a great location as well in North Denver. They smoke their meats for hours. You could really taste it. Specifically in the brisket, we just catered from there. And that was so unbelievably good. We got smoked wings as well. Catered those in. Those were outstanding. And then we did pork, and you can really taste the flavor in that. They have great non-barbecue options as well. The chicken marsala is absolutely fantastic. It's as good as any five-star restaurant in town. And if you can believe it, the desserts are outstanding as well. You cannot go wrong with any of the desserts. Their bread pudding is absolutely fantastic. Go to Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew. By the way, we're going to give away $20 right now if anybody wants to go. 303-831-1340. 303-831-1340. First caller, you're going to Smokin' Dave's on us. Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Go get some tonight in Denver, Centennial, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
Boy, Vic Fangio was in a great mood during the Cowboys game, after the Cowboys game, and he was just laying it on thick with a compliment to Javonte Williams. He said that Javonte reminds him of Edgerrin James, and he reminds him a little of Terrell Davis with his running style. That's pretty good for a couple of Hall of Famers. So I suppose if Edgerrin James and Terrell Davis had a baby, and I don't want to think about it, you've got Javonte Williams, don't you? So if Javonte Williams is a combo of Edgerrin James and Terrell Davis, why isn't he the primary back?
It's a good question, because it's not like Melvin Gordon doesn't have a fumble on his legs. You're right, because he had that fumble late in the Washington game. And they're trying around the clock. Now, of course, Javonte Williams opened that drive with a fumble, even though the whistle blew, like as we saw on replay, clearly it was out. And he had a fumble near the goal line against the Jets. So one reason perhaps why you haven't seen Javonte Williams be the alpha of those two is he does put the ball on the ground a little bit more.
How many times has Javonte Williams fumbled this year?
Like I said, he had the one against the Jets, but then against Washington, even though the whistle officially it wasn't a fumble, as we saw on replay, the ball did come out.
Well, fumbles really don't affect the way Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur think. If you look at last year, all the times that Melvin Gordon.
But you're talking about a power in both cases. In both cases, the running backs this year, they're both the power backs that they like.
You're talking.
Whereas Philip Lindsay was not.
No. You're talking about a combination between Edgerrin James and Terrell Davis. Don't tell me about fumbles.
That's why I'm saying, like, he has the attributes. Just because you have the attributes doesn't mean that you end up becoming that you are that level of player yet. That's the thing. At this point, they trust Melvin Gordon more than Javonte Williams. And that's why you still see more of Melvin Gordon. And, you know, Melvin Gordon is a holding penalty away from having a 100-yard game of his own on Sunday as well.
Okay, now I understand. And I totally get it that we're not necessarily comparing apples to apples here, but we are talking about apples and another fruit. Terrell Davis, in his rookie year, fumbled it four times. In his 1996 season, which was 1,500-plus yards, five times. 1997, he fumbled it four times. Now, granted, he had more carries. I'm with you on that.
I mean,
on the ground.
You're asking me, like, why they're going with Melvin Gordon over Javonte Williams, why Melvin Gordon is still the 1A of the 1A, 1B running back. That's got something to do with it. Melvin Gordon hasn't done anything to lose the inherent trust they had in him.
By the way, maybe maybe Vic Fangio, when he was referring to Edgerrin James, maybe he was talking about fumbles. I'm going to go year by year of the fumbles of Edgerrin James. 6, 5, 2, 2, 5, 6, 2, 3, 4. That's a lot of fumbles, but clearly he's not talking about fumbles. I believe I can tell you why Melvin Gordon is getting the playing time that he is. It's one word. One word and one word only. Why he is getting as many, if not more, carries than Javonte Williams. Two reasons why. One, Javonte Williams is a rookie. But this is the biggest reason why. Melvin Gordon has excellent vision when he has the ball in his hands. He spots holes. He spots creases. And for Javonte Williams, we all gush over him breaking tackles.
But he's got big holes.
No, that's not where I'm even going with this.
No, but that's part. He's doing well.
Who has big holes?
Javonte Williams is getting big holes. Okay. And he's running through them.
Well,
Melvin Gordon.
He finds creases.
Melvin Gordon only needs it to flash open. That's one reason why you still see more of Melvin Gordon in the red zone than Javonte Williams.
But here's
Melvin Gordon only needs a sliver to have a positive play. Javonte Williams hasn't reached that point yet.
Because he doesn't have the vision. Everybody oohs and ahs, and rightfully so. Everybody oohs and ahs over all of his broken tackles.
Well, it's not just the vision, but the quickness to respond to that vision. Like, Melvin Gordon is very decisive. Like, he's one cut and go. Javonte Williams, it's good for Javonte Williams to be around Melvin Gordon because there are things like that vision, like the decisiveness to make that cut and go that Javonte Williams can get better at.
I know you love stats, so let me give you a stat that you may not be familiar with. Javonte Williams has the second highest stuff rate of any running back in the NFL. The second highest, meaning
he's not getting to the holes.
No, he's not. Yeah. Because right now he doesn't have the vision. Do you know who has the second least stuff rate in the NFL?
Probably Melvin Gordon.
It is Melvin Gordon. So right now,
there's a lower variance for Melvin Gordon.
I am not suggesting that Javonte Williams is not going to eventually, you know, develop his vision. I'm not suggesting that at all. But I'll give you a guy, and we'll go back a little bit, you know, a guy who had great talent, but his vision never developed at the NFL level, Trent Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
Great talent, could break tackles, but his vision was never there. So when you look at a guy like a Javonte Williams and say, wow, if Vic is comparing him to Edgerrin James and Terrell Davis, think about what he could do behind what Terrell Davis did with that zone blocking scheme in the late 1990s. I don't know if that would be a Melvin Gordon type of offense, not necessarily a Javonte Williams type of offense as of right now, because Terrell Davis was great one cut, but spotting the hole quickly. Javonte Williams isn't there yet, but man, he can break tackles. Think about this. If Javonte Williams has the second highest stuff rate in the NFL of any running back, and he's still doing what he's doing, think about what happens when the guy will be able to actually see the field, see the creases, and the game slows down for him. Then you might have a combination between Terrell Davis and Edgerrin James, but right now you don't.
And that's why you're going to continue to see them rotate as they are.
Right.
And also, Melvin Gordon is a more consistent pass catcher than Javonte Williams.
Yeah.
And that's another reason why you're going to see more
Melvin Gordon. Well, Melvin Gordon has a history of catching passes.
Right. That's one of the things he does well. You know, the truth is, even though Melvin Gordon is in year 7 of his NFL career, I'm not sure you don't think about a modest extension for him if he's open to it.
Yeah.
Say 2 years, $10 million with six guaranteed.
Oh, people will be up in arms. Broncos country will be.
Why?
Because they want to see more break and tackle guy.
But Melvin Gordon's still a very good running back.
I understand that, but people want to see more break and tackle guy.
I'm not thinking about what people want. I'm thinking about what's best for the team.
I know what's best for the team, and I agree with you. Okay? I agree with you.
If they don't get Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, then your success equation is probably still going to rely upon running the ball quite a bit.
But let me ask you something. We got to hit a break because Todd Davis is going to be joining us next. Because they really don't hit in practice, all right, and there's not a whole lot of really tough blocking going on in practice, How is Javonte Williams going to get better with his vision if he doesn't play more?
We're talking about practice, man.
But you also don't want to play him too much to where you wear him down.
So you don't want him to be a bell cow?
I like...
You don't want him to be a Derrick Henry? You want a two-back system?
Can he be Derrick Henry? Derrick Henry is...
No, I understand that.
Can we... Derrick Henry is a unicorn.
Okay. There are other running backs who... Le'Veon Bell, not a big guy. He was their bell cow in Pittsburgh.
And he wore down quickly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you don't want a bell cow in Javonte Williams. You want a dual system.
If the dual system like this continues to work, I think this is the ideal scenario here. Because the other thing that happens is that means if you are running the ball well, that means you have two sets of relatively fresh legs in the fourth quarter to put the hammer down, and that's the kind of thing that can allow you to comfortably clinch a game without much of a sweat. I think the way the Broncos are built, that's a way to win.
Coming up after the break, we're going to have a chat, as we do every Wednesday, with our friend Todd Davis, Super Bowl champ. He's next. Silly girl. Shame on you. Your mama said. Silly girl. Shame on you. You cried in bed.
Shame on you. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew. Yes, I am. Yes,
welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us at mileysports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, I'll tell you about my guy, Eric Cook, with Farmers Insurance and the Cook Insurance Agency. I've been working with Eric for over 5 years. So whether it's commercial, auto, home, or life, he is the absolute best. We talked today about my policy for my home insurance and my auto insurance. And he got me absolutely the best deal, because I'm a guy who shops this stuff around. And he got me the best deal by far. Can't wait to work with him. He already does other insurance for me as well. He is really the best at what he does. And his staff, over 70 years of experience, they know the right questions to ask to get you the right policy. Give him a call today. Trust me on this. 303-790-8089. 303-790-8089. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Eric Cook at Farmers Insurance. The Cook Insurance Group, focused on people, not policies. Call today at 303-790-8089. That's 303-790-8089.
All right, let's go out to the hotline. I'm going to bring in a friend, Todd Davis, Super Bowl champ with the Denver Broncos. How are you, Todd?
Doing great. How are you?
Okay, so what can a win like this over the Cowboys, a really good team, arguably the best team in football before Sunday's game, do for the confidence and the morale of the guys in the locker room who were riding? I understand they beat Washington, but the knock was on this team, they couldn't beat good teams. They beat a really good team. What can it do for the guys in the locker room?
Yeah, they beat a really good team, and they beat them pretty badly. I think it can be a huge confidence booster for the guys in the locker room, and give everybody a little bit of faith and hope back in the team and the organization and the coaching staff, and remind them that the season is far from over and they have a lot that they can still accomplish. So I think this will be a big booster. You'll see some of the momentum carried on to this next game.
Well, if you listen to a lot of the national guys following the game, this was their narrative. It's not that the Broncos won the game. It's that the Cowboys lost the game. Can there be a happy medium there, or do you look at it as the Broncos just won the game and that was it?
I do think that the Cowboys didn't play to the level of their capability. I felt like they may have slept on the Broncos and maybe they weren't their best on Sunday. But at the same time, you got to give the Broncos their credit. They came out, they played better than the Cowboys did. And every Sunday, it's a hard-fought game. It doesn't matter what the team you're going up against record is. It's going to be a tough game. whether they're undefeated or they have no wins. So the Broncos came to play. You can't take it away from them. That was a win, and they had a pretty good win on Sunday.
Why do teams kind of get in a moment where they take an opponent lightly? I mean, you might have experienced that kind of on both sides of the equation with the teams that you were on in your career, Todd. So, like, how and why does that happen for a team like it happened for the Cowboys?
I think that every statistic or category that you could measure a team in, when you're just better than the team you're going up against, you know, your coach always tells you to play everybody hard, but you're going to take some people lightly. I know that, you know, if you're undefeated and you're going up against one of the Browns teams of the past or some teams that just weren't very good throughout the course of, I guess, my career, we took them lightly. And a lot of those times, the first half was much closer than it needed to be. And we finally, you know, stepped it up the second half and finally got in the game. But when you're better at running the ball, throwing the ball, better on defense, feel like you have better players all around the board, you kind of do sometimes take people lightly.
We're talking with Todd Davis, Super Bowl champ with the Denver Broncos. Can we dig into that a little bit further? What does taking them lightly look like? Does it begin with work in the weight room, work in the film room, joking too much on the plane, showing up not totally focused? What does that entail?
Yeah, I think it can encompass all of that. I think it could be if you're, you know, squatting on Mondays after a long game and you normally squat 315. This week you may squat 275, you know, because you just know that it's going to be a good game and you guys are going to win. Or if you stay late after practice, you may stay late 20 minutes instead of 30 minutes that you normally stay. I think it's just a little things throughout the course of the week that can add up to big things on Sunday. I don't think anybody just doesn't study or doesn't feel like they're preparing. You just don't prepare to the level that you would going up against, you know, the best team in the division or the best team in your conference.
So is it possible that the Broncos kind of now have to be on guard for that happening with them against Philadelphia? Or do you think that what they've been through over the course of this season will keep them from feeling too high going into this game?
Yeah, I think that the road that they've had to travel will definitely keep them humble and ready to go. When you lose four in a row and you lose some games that you necessarily shouldn't have lost, you definitely are on your toes when they're talking about coaching changes or staff changes or who's going to be here next year, or you're trading away, you know, one of the best players to ever put on a jersey. I think all the players are on their toes trying to play their best football. So I don't think they'll have a problem going into this week versus the Eagles. I feel like they'll prepare like they have been preparing, maybe even better. Because when you have the confidence and you know that your preparation is starting to pay off, or you see that you're getting things to click, you actually sometimes you work a little bit harder than you normally do. So I'm excited to see the Broncos come out and really show out this week.
I have one question in three parts. What are you seeing that you love about Jonathan Cooper, Kenny Young, and Baron Browning?
Well, I guess I'll start with Jonathan Cooper. I feel like he came out and had a big game, and I feel like there was a lot of times where the left tackle simply couldn't block him, whether he got home or not. He was really messing up Dak's timing, the team's timing, and really creating havoc. So I think for him to come in and play that way as a rookie, trying to take over for, like I said, arguably one of the best players to ever put on a Broncos jersey, he came out and had a big day. There's a lot of weight on your shoulders that people don't realize when you're coming to step in for somebody who's done well and is a staple in Denver. I think Young has come in and played well. I think as the weeks progress, he continues to get better. I saw him shoot a gap and make a play in the backfield. That's something that he hadn't done the 2 weeks before, and that's just from being comfortable in the system, comfortable with the plays, feeling like he knows his responsibility, because when you know what to do, you can do it a lot faster. And I forget who the last person is.
Baron Browning, the other rookie.
Yeah, he's definitely coming along. I feel like teams tried to attack him the first couple weeks that he was starting in the passing game. But I feel like he's even getting better in that aspect. I saw him make a couple of pass breakups in the last game. I feel like he's definitely learning how to be an inside backer. I know he played on the edge in college, but he looks good on the inside. So I think he'll keep progressing. And it'll be interesting to see what they do now that they have these guys that are coming in and starting to play really well. If they continue to progress, it'll be interesting to see with them having, you know, three or four pretty good inside linebackers.
You know, they run a lot of zone. Of course, a lot of that is kind of collaboration. So how impressive is it that with all of these new and relatively inexperienced parts that they really looked like a very cohesive defensive unit on Sunday, shutting out the Cowboys for 55 minutes?
Yeah, that's very impressive. It takes time to learn the defense and feel comfortable to execute at a high level, especially in Vic Fangio's defense. You have to be smart to be able to play for Coach Fangio. He definitely has a lot of tricks and different things that he likes to implement every week. So, you know, it shows a lot about these guys coming in to be able to learn it so fast and execute it well.
We are talking with Todd Davis. His segment brought to you by the Davis Fund. Of course, he won a Super Bowl with the Broncos. Vic Fangio, I don't know if he was a little over the top today, but said Javonte Williams reminded him of Edgerrin James and Terrell Davis. That's pretty pretty heady praise for a guy who's a rookie, and then you're talking about two Hall of Famers. But when you played and you watched the way Javonte Williams breaks tackles, who does he remind you of? A guy that's impossible to bring down?
Yeah, I really feel like the first person that comes to mind is like Marshawn Lynch. I know him the way Marshawn Lynch would run. He was really hard to take down, wouldn't go down after one. Tackler tried to take him. So, you know, it was definitely a gang tackle every time we had to tackle Marshawn. And I know that's high praise for him as well because Marshawn is potentially a Hall of Famer, a great running back in this league. But, I mean, you could look at the job he's done, you know, as a rookie with just the limited time that he's played. I mean, he's splitting carries and still making big plays every single time he gets his hands on the ball. So, I think if he can split carries and still have 111 yards like he did last week, it'd be a scary sight to see you get the full load.
Few guys on coming out of Sunday's game talked about being disrespected by the Cowboys, pointing to those back-to-back fourth downs that the Cowboys went for on their first two possessions. Was there ever an instance where you felt like you guys as a team were disrespected in that way, and how did y'all respond if that was the case?
Yeah, I think that they did feel disrespected from talking to the guys on the team. That's a huge statement for you to stop a team in the red zone and they come back and then they try to go forward on fourth down again. That means that they really feel like they don't care about the points. They'll be down there in the red zone, you know, as much as they want or whatever they like. So they'll get the points whenever they feel like it. They felt like they could be the dominant big dog, big brother, whatever you want to call it, that could run the ball down the Broncos' throat, wouldn't be able to stop them. So I think that is definitely a little bit of disrespect on their part. I think the first time was okay. The second time you may come down to kick the field goal, get the points. So I know that the guys took that personally, and I think stopping them both times is what gave the team as much energy as they had.
Are you familiar with the basketball term getting posterized?
Absolutely.
Okay. As a guy who is a great tackler in this league, leading the Broncos in tackles numerous times, when you're going up against a guy like a Marshawn Lynch or a Javonte Williams, I know you have confidence in yourself to tackle, but do you ever think, I just don't want this guy to posterize me?
I can't say that I've ever had that thought, but I definitely understand that thought process. You know, it doesn't matter if you miss the tackle as much as it matters if you get run over and miss the tackle. You definitely don't want that happening because, you know, you'll hear about it from the fans. Your best friends will call you. It'll be all over SportsCenter, and nobody wants to make SportsCenter unless you're the one creating the highlight.
Okay, what's worse, missing a tackle, getting blown up by the running back, or, like Javonte Williams did, hanging on to the running back as he drags you and your hands are around his hips for 10 yards?
Yeah, that last one is pretty bad.
I mean, yeah, he's taking bad. You for a ride.
Yeah, for sure, because then it just looks like, you know, you're a helpless child. You know, when you play with your little cousins and there's nothing that they can do to stop you, and they're just getting drugged on the floor and crying. It feels like somebody's going to go run and ask their mom for a Band-Aid after you get drugged like that.
Tell us about the Davis Fund and what you guys are doing, and then I want to get into what you're doing for Toys for Tots.
Yeah, so the Davis Fund is my real estate company that I started with my wife, Zena. We actually closed on a property today.
Congratulations.
That we're going to be rehabbing in Highlands Ranch. So keeping it close to home, you know, really want to help impact the community here in Colorado. And, you know, we're doing it one house at a time. So we're getting it done.
So you closed on a property in Highlands Ranch today. Then you're going to, for lack of a better phrase, gut rehab it. And then what are you going to do to help somebody with that?
Oh, so this specific house is just going to be resold after we flip it. But we do have two apartment buildings that we should be going under contract with in the next week. We should be going under contract, and those will be used as placement for a single mother families or families in transition. Those will be used to help the community more so than this single family home that we have in Highlands Ranch.
So you are you and your wife, you do a, for lack of a better phrase, a residential business, which is what you closed on today. But then the apartments that you talked about, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you this. If you're buying these places, Todd, okay, and then allowing other people to live there who aren't as fortunate, how do you not run out of money?
Well, we work with the city and we work with the government to help with funding and assistance so they can have the homes that they need, where it's not money coming out of their pockets, but the government or the city is going to help take care of the home that they have. It's definitely not making a lot of money off of it or anything like that, but there is assistance from the state and local government to make sure that they are taken care of.
And what are you doing with Toys for Tots this upcoming holiday season?
So this holiday season, I'm partnering with Toys for Tots. Well, my foundation, Todd Davis Info Plus Living, is partnering with Toys for Tots here in Colorado. They're going to be putting together a night for families to come out and us to have a good time, like interacting, hanging out, and everybody will be able to leave with toys and food and groceries and things they may need for the holiday season, so everybody's has a good holiday. I really wanted to work for Toys for Tots. My mother is the director of, the Center of California, distributing toys to different kids and families and making sure everybody has a great holiday. I mean, it's important to make sure that people are taken care of during this time. It's important to take care of people throughout the entire year, but usually this is a time where it's easy for people to look around and realize what they don't have. So this is why it's such a big importance to help people out at this time right now.
By the way, I have a great live auction item for you if you eventually decide to do a fundraising event. One of them can be, you can auction off Javonte Williams. And the person has to be under 50 pounds. They could be 250. Probably wouldn't matter, Javonte. And Javonte will drag them along the gymnasium floor for 50 yards. I bet you'd make money off of that. And for Javonte, that probably wouldn't be a problem.
No, it'd probably be light work for him.
It'd be like a ride. You get to go for a ride on Javonte Williams. But you have to pay more depending on your weight. And you can gauge it that way.
Yeah, I don't know. It would be easy for him, but I don't know about that because I'm not trying to pull any hamstrings, tweak any ankles. I do not want the Broncos calling me about that.
Listen, that's what you have a cryotherapy machine for, to reduce the swelling. How do people find the Davis Fund?
The best way to talk to us is emailing us at davisinvesting@yahoo.com or checking us out at thetoddavis.com. You'll see the event for Toys for Tots when it's ready to post, and we'll post it there first. And you can check us out and talk to us and communicate with us through the website as well.
Todd, thanks for your time as always. I look forward to seeing you and Zena at the gym soon.
Perfect. Thank you.
See you, man. All right, coming up after the break, is it fair to say the AFC West is wide open, Mace?
everyone is within a half game of each other, so I'd say yes.
Okay, so let's handicap it after the break. How good are the Broncos' chances of winning the West?
Ooh.
That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. We're going to talk about the AFC West later on this week, probably tomorrow. But do want to get something to something that we haven't gotten to for the entire show, and we do need to get to it, and that is Nathan McKinnon is going to be out for the next 3 weeks. And the Avs have not played up to their potential so far this year, and losing him is not like losing Jokic for 3 weeks. I think we could both agree on that.
Well, just that's the nature of hockey, like we often talk about. You know, Nikola Jokic is going to play 36 to 40 minutes a night. Nathan McKinnon, even on a good night, is going to play about a third of the game. So it's a different level of impact, but it's another log on the fire for an Avs team that has yet to be
healthy.
Fully healthy,
right,
all season.
Right.
And you see results like last weekend when they lose a couple of games to Columbus.
Right.
They're scuffling around. Now, as we've said, look, all it is, it's about getting the playoffs for the Avs, being healthy when it matters. Just get in the playoffs, be healthy, and then take your chances from there. Seeding means less in the NHL than any other sport. But the fact that this team can't get healthy, it just feels like a rerun of the last 2 years when injuries played a huge role in derailing each of their playoff campaigns.
Yeah.
And you're starting to wonder, is it just this particular unit, just they can't get healthy?
What do we have coming up on Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it?
Scott Boris, MLB super agent, claims that there's a competitive cancer in baseball, and it played a significant role in the Braves winning the World Series this year. That's next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports. If you don't scrub that kitchen floor,
you ain't gonna rock and roll no more. Yaggedy yak! Don't go back. Just finish cleaning
up your... You broke my heart, 'cause I couldn't dance. You didn't even want me around. And now I'm back.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
You know, no one puts baby in the corner.
I knew you were going to make a dirty dance reference.
Well, I got to, because that's the line.
Yeah.
No one puts baby in the corner. And I can never look at that actor as anything but the guy from Law & Order. I can't take him seriously.
Jerry Orbach?
No, he's Law & Order guy.
Why would you not take him seriously, though, because of that?
Because he is the guy from Law & Order. He's been typecast. He's the Law & Order guy.
But he did it so well.
I didn't suggest that he didn't. All I'm saying is he's the Law & Order guy.
He's, you know who he also is? In Beauty and the Beast, Lumiere.
I've never seen that.
Yeah.
Is he animated?
That's his voice.
Okay.
Yeah, that's his voice. That's, the late Jerry Orbach.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
He's a talented actor.
Yes,
and
he is.
I would say you should see him as more than just Lenny Briscoe.
No, he's Lenny Briscoe. Just like Sam Watterson will always be Jack McCoy.
I think you're a Law & Order guy.
I am a Law & Order guy.
Yeah.
What's there not to like? Criminal Intent. That's fantastic. Vincent D'Onofrio. Everybody remembers him from that war movie. What is it called? And he was fantastic.
Full Metal Jacket.
He was unbelievable in that. But he is still the guy from Criminal Intent.
How many Law & Orders have there been?
Criminal Intent,
SVU. Because the original one isn't on anymore, right?
I'm sure TNT has a marathon.
Well, that's what I mean.
I think there's
an
organized crime one now.
Really?
Really?
Are you serious?
I think so.
Come on. Are you teasing me?
No, I think it was like
Law and Order,
a spinoff from SVU.
What's it called? Law and Order Mafia Bosses? What's it referred to?
It's just called Law and Order Organized Crime.
Okay, yeah. But actually, the original Law and Order is coming back. NBC has ordered a 21st season.
Yeah, but Jerry Orbach's not going to be in it.
Well, no, but he wasn't in the last seasons of the original Law and Order either.
He's no longer Law.
Right. Anyway.
Sam Watterson has to be Jack McCoy. The show lost all its steam once Jack McCoy was no longer the lead prosecutor. He was the best.
Sam Waterston is in talks to return for the 21st season.
Yeah, but he can't
of the original Law and
Order.
Yeah,
but he can't be the DA. He has to be the guy who's the prosecutor. It's not the same. It's just not. And Moriarty, the first prosecutor, he was lame. Waterston's the best.
Well, isn't Sam Waterston like 80 years old now? Maybe he's become the judge.
Listen, I don't care if they have to exhume him and wheel out his casket. He needs to be the guy prosecuting. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Are you ready? Presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to MasterpieceRoofing.com today.
Just in case you missed it, top MLB agent Scott Boras claims the competitive cancer of tanking led to the Braves winning the World Series. He said uncompetitive teams unloading veterans at the trade deadline to accumulate draft picks drastically changes the season in the late going from the way it was earlier on. Does Boras bring to light something the MLB needs to change, or is this just the nature of a trade deadline?
The thing is, it's tearing down and getting assets back that over the long haul has allowed for, believe it or not, reasonable competitive balance in terms of championships won. 15 franchises have won World Series since 2000.
Where is the Braves' payroll at the beginning of the season?
The beginning of the season, I believe they were 11th.
Okay. So Scott Boras certainly has an interesting view of baseball through the lens in which he lives through.
Yes.
And sees through. So he's suggesting he wants all of his guys to get top dollar from the Dodgers and watch them win the World Series instead of a feel-good story like the Braves, who were not very good a couple of months before the regular season ended, made some nice moves before the trade deadline, but not huge moves like the Giants made.
Or the Dodgers. The Dodgers traded.
He doesn't care about baseball.
The Dodgers traded for Max Scherzer and Trey Turner.
He doesn't care at all. The Braves were a, and I'm not saying this because you're sitting there. They were a tremendous story. A team that won 88 games, were left for dead. They made some nice moves.
Lost their number one starter and probably their best everyday player to season-ending injuries. And here's another part of Boras's quote. He says, quote, "We have seen the championship in 60 days. The rules allow them to be a less than 500 team at August 1st and add five players from teams that no longer wanted to compete for very little cost, change the entirety of their team and the season. And we saw this unfold to the detriment of teams that create at vast expense, planning an ill intellect and won over 100 games," unquote. I can't say what I feel about this without swearing.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
But let me ask you, what two teams unloaded the most at the trade deadline? The Cubs? Anybody else? Or is it the Cubs?
Nationals unloaded a lot.
Okay. And who did the Braves get from the Cubs?
Jock Peterson.
Okay. Good player.
Yeah.
And who'd they get from the Nationals?
No, but they didn't get anybody. But Max Scherzer and Trey Turner became Dodgers.
No, but wait. So you're upset about teams unloading. Jock Peterson was a nice player.
Yes.
But he wasn't even close to being the biggest pickup at the trade deadline for the Braves.
Right. I mean,
you have all these teams unloading, specifically the Cubs and the Nationals. You had a beefed up everybody else's roster, barely helped the Braves. yet that's bad for baseball because the Braves won.
Yeah, he's got it. He's moaning about the fact, oh, they planned over 100 games. You know what? The Braves would have been where, the Braves would have been where the Dodgers and Giants were, or close to it, probably, if they had Soroka and if they had Acuna. They had careful planning. They just had guys get hurt. And to their credit, they pivot. Alex Anthopoulos pivoted. Scott Boras, just screw that guy.
Wow, got you all wound up.
Hey, I could have said a lot worse.
Just in case you missed it, CSU and CU both started off their basketball seasons with a win last night. CSU beat Oral Roberts, a Sweet 16 team, back in March with a lot of the same guys that were on that Sweet 16 roster. They beat them 109-80 last night. Colorado, on the other hand, a bit of a closer game as they won 94-90 in overtime against Montana State. Colorado was a tournament team back in March. How big of a deal would it be this season for both these programs to be in the NCAA tournament?
Listen, I have friends up in Boulder, love the Buffs. I'm not a Buffs grad. Colorado State has the best men's college basketball team in the state this year.
And they should.
Period.
CSU should be in the tournament. You mentioned Oral Roberts, a Sweet 16 team last year, brought almost everybody back. To beat them down the way they did is an incredibly impressive win to start the season. Maybe in some ways the most impressive win anybody around the country had last night, given the magnitude of the game. CU, it's a reloading year. If CU finishes above 500 and guys gel, this should be a tournament team in 2022-2023. But this is the reset year, and that's okay. You have that at CU from time to time.
All right, that was Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it. If your home, specifically your roof, is damaged by hail, I highly recommend you go with Masterpiece Roofing for a lot of reasons. One, they were recently voted Denver's best roofing company. But number two, man, they really go after those insurance companies. I have a buddy where he had major hail damage to the tune of over $30,000. He went with Masterpiece Roofing. He worked with my friend John. And my buddy told me he thinks he's going to write a $500 check total. And that's his deductible to his roofing company or to his insurance company. Because you know what? Masterpiece Roofing. Tighten the screws on that insurance company, and they are paying for the rest. And that's the way it should be. And that's what Masterpiece Roofing is going to do for you. Alex, Danny, great job today. Mace, always a pleasure.
Likewise.
We'll do it tomorrow. Make the best possible night you can.